Hello, everybody. Happy Independence Day weekend. What a great weekend it's been, and we continue to do that. Just want to emphasize as well, and thank you in advance for your generosity with Strive Youth Ministries. Whether you got chicken or not, Dixie and I will make a donation above and beyond that, an investment, and just help defray costs to allow them to do the things that they do. So thank you for that. How many of you enjoyed the smell of the chicken when you were coming in? I'm expecting to hear a bunch of stomachs growling today by the time I'm done here. So thank you for that. We love our youth, our children. We support them every way we can. Well, so a few Sundays ago on Mother's Day, we celebrated 30 years that we've been here as your pastor and family. And so that would mean that this is the 30th time that I've spoken to you on Independence Day or that weekend. And with no apologies, this is what I do and this is what we do. If you don't know by now, if you're new, I am an absolutely flaming patriotic pastor, and I'm not ashamed of it. So this is, we've been doing this for year after year, whether it's popular or not. We believe that this is something we need to hit today. So I'm going to do my best. If you note over here, we have the American flag, we have the Christian flag here. We have a couple of pictures there from my office, and I'll be alluding to the one on the left, on the other side. And then, of course, I'm using several quotes from Abraham Lincoln today, so I wanted to put that there as a display as well. So my title today is God Bless America. Psalm 33:12 reads this way. Blessed is the nation, and I put parenthetically in my notes, any and every nation, by the way. True? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Whose God is the Lord. That means absolutely in control, not just of the universe, but in control of our lives. How do you know God blesses a nation when he's in control of people he loved, created and loved? He's in control of their lives. He's sovereign over all. So I have some of these things I may have alluded to in these past 30 years for sure, but I love this little story that I ran across some years ago, that's told about President Reagan. After the Olympic Games were in Los Angeles, he was the leader of the United States of America at that time. And so he was asked what the ceremonies were like, and I love this. And so to the person that asked the question, he began to describe that opening ceremony and all the nations coming in with all the flags and all the ethnicities represented. And he said that this nation, the people looked like they represented that nation. And he went on and on through the list. But then after he listed several of them, at that point, his face just lit up and beamed like it did. And he said, listen to this. He said, but then the United States delegation came marching in. And you know what? They look like the world. Don't we love that? Don't we love that? I love it. I love it. I just want to say with passion today that I'm always looking for the American flag. I love it that they had the flags around here on Flag Day, and they've left them up, most of them throughout. We have flags galore in our home and around our property. Our whole road is lined with flags. And I just want to share my heart a little bit. I want to tell you, listen carefully. I want to let you know that in 2025, it's okay to cheer for America and Americans. Did you hear me? That's what I do, no matter what the sport. I don't even have to like the sport, but if it's up there, I look for the American flag, the insignia by it. I'm not looking for ethnicities. I'm looking for the flag. Are you with me on that? I can do this, and I do this regularly, conscience-free, and with compassion for all, because anyone can become an American as long as they come in the front door and agree to experience freedom under our laws. That's what we believe in. Interestingly enough, I probably told you before, but I did a high school paper, and I dug it out. You can tell. It's yellowed and old. Let's see. Nate Ward, composition, period 5, October 20, 1972. Could somebody do the math and tell me how many years ago that was? And can anybody see that on the, what's that? An A what? Oh, thank you. It's an A plus. So I once wrote a paper that I have here in my hand, assigned by Mrs. Bergebile. Now, I had to look up her picture to get her spelling right. And I think in the picture in our yearbook, she was at least 95, and I think she taught 30 years after I graduated, for sure, at North Canton Hoover High. But the title, the assigned topic, was Freedom Under the Wall, and I went back and read it. I think I could do much better now than I did then, but I was a high school kid. She was a tough veteran teacher who seldom smiled. I can still see her necklace and her bright red lipstick and her pointed glasses, but she taught me so much about writing, and I'm so grateful, and you all get to experience that on a weekly basis. I had the best teachers, writing teachers at Hoover. I'm telling you, they were great. And so, by the way, she did give me an A+. That's not all. Here I am, 60-something. She also gave me a verbal commendation in front of the whole class, and I'm still remembering it. I mean, in front of the whole class, she singled me out and handed me this paper with the A+ on the corner. And it still matters. 1972, and I'm still talking about it. Mostly, I'm talking about freedom under the rule of law. So, some of you get nervous. Relax. I'm well aware that we have precious people from other countries that listen, that watch and visit and attend and even call Worcester-Naz home. And if that's you today, I know this, you're here for a reason, to enjoy the blessings and the benefits of the freedom we hold dear. You are welcome here, and I love it. And everybody said, amen. You are welcome here. Thank you. And as I started out, and we'll talk about God Bless America today, you can sing this prayer, which is really a song, for your home country too, and I hope you can. God bless, I have in bold, God bless blank, whatever your country, God bless your country by all means, and I encourage you to do so. But when we sing God Bless America, that's really a prayer. It has to be this, that really it's about spiritual alignment under God, correct? One nation under God. That's really the only way he can truly bless a people and his people when we're aligned under him. Well, a prayer. I was reflecting on the Declaration of Independence opening here, and you've heard it before, but let me just start with that. We hold these truths, because we believe in truth, to be self-evident. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Self-evident. I mean, it should be plain as the nose on your face, so to speak, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their who? By their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God bless America. I don't know if you've ever looked it up, but this song was written by Irving Berlin. Does that name ring a bell? Look up some of the other songs he wrote. But he was a Jewish immigrant from Russia, and he wrote this song in 1918 during World War I. But it didn't catch on. It wasn't publicly sung, but it was publicly performed for the first time in 1938 by Kate Smith on her NBC radio show on what would be now called Veterans Day. I mean, remember, she could just belt it out. This was timely as the world was teetering on the brink of World War II with Hitler's insanity and all that was happening. It instantly became a patriotic anthem, and it still is. Has anybody been at a ball game recently and somewhere around the seventh inning, they don't just sing a lot of times, take me out the ball game, they sing God Bless America. It had a great resurgence, as you'll remember, many of us, all of you that were born at that time. It had a great resurgence in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, and it was sung repeatedly. I can see political people on the steps of the Capitol, remember, gathering as an expression of unity and hope. Listen, Berlin, he described God Bless America as a peace song, not a war song. He intended the song to be a plea for divine guidance and protection and moral clarity. And he ought to know, he wrote it. He called it God Bless America. Listen to this, a prayer for the country. To quote him, he said, "To me, God Bless America was not just a song, but an expression of my gratitude to the country that had given me everything, to the country that had given me every opportunity to succeed." And it was especially meaningful coming from a legal immigrant who deeply appreciated the freedoms of his adopted homeland. And by the way, As a footnote, he donated all the royalties from this song to the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts of America, and that reflected further his desire that this song serve public good instead of being for personal profit. That's a neat story, isn't it? True story. So I've got a question for you today. When we sing or say or sing God Bless America, is our posture one of an asker or a demander? I believe it should be the posture of an asker, a prayer of humble declaration and dependence upon God. We're inviting God's favor, not making demands. And we're going to sing it at the end of my message as a prayer this morning. Inviting God's favor, God, please bless America, not making demands. Because God doesn't owe us anything, does he? He doesn't owe us a thing. Some years ago in Florida, I purchased that print on the left. And I think if you look close, it says First Congressional Prayer Meeting in 1774. It hangs above my desk. First prayer in Congress is what it says. As they gathered to begin work on the governing system, they prayed. They got on their knees, many of them, as you can see in the picture, and they cried out to God for his help and wisdom. And history has recorded that they had a lengthy prayer meeting. I mean, it was great in length and passion and intensity. You see, it was that morning they were feeling a little desperate because they just heard that Great Britain had invaded and occupied Boston, and they were greatly distressed because they didn't have anything close to a standing army at the time. They were still British subjects or citizens, and their own government had turned on them. They weren't prepared to face the number one military power in the world. They needed help. Sounded desperate, didn't it? John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail that the Lord had directed them to Psalm 35. I think there's about 28 verses in that chapter. You can read it, but they're all a desperate plea for God's intervention. And reading that had given them great comfort, encouragement, and courage to face what was ahead that they knew not of. As they read it and as they prayed it, they had a peaceful sense that all would be well. The chapter starts out this way. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive against me. Fight against those who fight against me. That's what our founders were about. True blessing is realized in reverence for God, by our trust in him, and it's demonstrated by our obedience to him. That shows our reverence and trust. I'm not suggesting that these things make us worthy by things we do, but it does put us in that blessable posture when we're humbly declaring and asking for God's blessing. It's that humble, palms up posture that we talk about. I love what President Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying at some point in time. He said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." That's what makes you blessable. Do you understand that? Who is on the Lord's side? We used to sing. I love the song that they sang this morning. Some of the words from Chris Tomlin: "Some may trust in horses," and it's right out of scripture. "Some may trust in chariots, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord." Any takers out there? Here's why. There's wonder-working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name, resurrection power, bondage-breaking power, power in the name of Jesus. But that was back then. It's not true now, right? No, it's just as true now as it ever was way back then. Power in the name of Jesus. Here's our challenge. Proverbs 14:34 reads, "Godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people." To all people, sin is a disgrace. To know the way and not walk in it. Now, I could have done all kinds of research. I read lots of things in preparation, and obviously the values of this country were heavily influenced by biblical unchanging principles from God's word. I mean, the things we read so easily slide off our tongue, like liberty and justice and personal responsibility, all those were derived from God's word. Now, our founders may have been very diverse or in their theological distinctives for sure, but they strongly embraced the moral principles rooted in the Bible. Do you understand that? That's our heritage. That's who we are. That's our foundation. That's where we came from. You can't take God out of the equation of the founding of this country. And I think somewhere it was said that basically our governmental system and our constitution, it can only move on the rails of the Bible or scriptures, God's word. That's what it's intended for, a godly people. Abraham Lincoln was in desperate times. What a leader he was. What a mess that he had to lead us through. And at a time of desperation, when things weren't going well, he called for prayer and fasting. And let me read some so well-written and well-spoken words. He said, "We have been the recipients of the years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us, then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, capital P, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Aren't those powerful words? Does anybody believe those words still ring true after all those years? During a harsh winter at Valley Forge in 1777 and to 8, that winter that we've read about in our history books, the great patriot George Washington was seen by eyewitnesses, and it was recorded. They saw him kneeling in the snow, deep in prayer, with tears running down his face. Those recording it said it made such a huge impression and greatly influenced those he led, even in those dire circumstances where so many died. The often printed and often used, the well-worn phrase, "In God we trust," is more than a slogan. It's a bold declaration, if you will. A constant national reminder of our God confidence, of our God consciousness, and our God dependence. In his inaugural address, George Washington prayed and called for national morality and integrity. He also said, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." Earlier, patriots sought the Lord, and he heard them, and he answered their cries. That sounds like a song, "Trust in God." Maybe we'll do that at the end today. So we've been called by God, and you think about it, he's called us to a dual citizenship, if you will. And that's sometimes difficult to navigate. Philippians 3:20 says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. This seems to be a delicate balance and makes for a slippery slope to navigate. We need an unshakable foundation to enable solid traction. It's possible to navigate and traverse these two citizenships gracefully, I believe. We read in Romans, and I won't read the entire passage, but it says in Romans 13:1-7, but just a couple of portions out of there, the instruction is everyone must submit to governing authorities. And then it says, give honor and respect to those who are in authority. Wow. I love the story, and I remember, do any of you with me remember about the landing on the moon? That stuff, that was back in the 60s, was it not? Does anybody remember that? Everybody was glued to their television. I mean, they didn't have all the options and channels and all of that. But I remember the story about Buzz Aldrin, because on Christmas Eve 1968, as Apollo 8 orbited the moon, they read Genesis 1. I mean, this is before God and everybody. The whole nation was there. listening and watching. They read Genesis 1 over live radio to millions of listeners and watchers. And before he walked on the moon, Buzz received communion, and he asked for total silence at NASA while he read Psalm 8, beginning with verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. I tell that story to illustrate that, this because in a key moment of history, there was a tremendous scientific success as well. People said that could never happen, and conspiracy people say it still never happened, and it was all fake and all of that. But that great scientific success became an act of public worship. The American flag would later be planted on the moon, as we saw and witnessed, but all things truly pointed to God and praised Him, the creator of all things. I believe the call, and we've offered a course from time two or three times already called Biblical Citizenship, and I think that is so what God has called us to do. As we are citizens of this country or a country, and we're also citizens of the heavenly kingdom. But biblical citizens, and I could go on and on, but they look like this. They obey laws that don't contradict God's word. They pray for all leaders, and they vote prayerfully with biblical values in heart and mind. That's to the best of their ability. That's what biblical citizens do. They don't run and hide and bury their heads in the sands when times get tough. They engage culture with the unchanging truth of God's word with compassion, courage, and grace. Because we represent Jesus at all times, they're also salt and light. They stand on truth without compromise. In other words, you know what biblical citizens are called to do? We're called to do the Daniel. We're called to do the Daniel. In the Old Testament, he was always faithful to God and respectful of his leaders. You can read the story there. And I got thinking about that story, and I thought he may have been the very first that I know of to practice civil disobedience, doing right when the law was wrong. Have you thought about that? He said, I won't stop praying to the sovereign God over all. The stronger we are as a people, as biblical citizens of this nation, the greater the impact and the influence, the difference we can make in the world, and the more inviting it will be for people across the world to become American citizens. We must constantly be grateful and faithful and prayerful. That's what biblical citizens do. Could I just remind you, as I have been doing in our recent series, that being a child of God and an eternal citizen of heaven is not automatic. Just because God created you and you have life or breath, that doesn't guarantee you a spot in heaven. You have to choose with your free will to say yes to a relationship with Jesus. That's the only way into God's family. The only way. But if you're here today at the sound of my voice, and if you've said yes to Jesus, and if you're a citizen of this country, the United States of America, you do have a dual citizenship, if you will, of heaven and of this nation under God. I say with emphasis as well that being an American citizen is not all there is. Don't ever act like that's all there is. If people don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then that's kind of all. That's as good as their world gets, and there's blessings and benefits, but it's not all there is. And I caution this to this patriotic pastor. Earthly patriotism must never replace devotion to Jesus. God first, unconditional surrender to Him in all things. One nation under God. Under God. What do we do in this world? I love that quote from John Wesley. He's credited with something like this. He's saying, while we're here, in the meantime, before we reach our heavenly home, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, and all the places you can, and at all times you can, and to all the people you can, as long as ever you can as we delicately traverse this dual citizenship that God has given us responsibility for. In America, my, how we need spiritual renewal. And that's not just the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world comes to Christ when they see us, a church, God's people on fire for Him. That is so attractive. One of the old timers said something about that, you know, let God light you on fire and pummel. People come just to see you burn. It's that passion, it's that fervency, that love for God that's a difference maker. But when I think about spiritual renewal and I think about revival, I believe that revival is spelled R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P-S, relationships with God and with one another. That's how He moves. We're always, as we say around here, loving God and loving people, and we're living transformed. Abraham Lincoln again said, it is the duty, by that I think responsibility, of nations as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That sounds like our opening scripture, doesn't it? Can I read that again? Proven by all history, announced in the Holy Scriptures, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. I want to be blessable, don't you? A story I've shared, I came across some time ago, I love it. Herschel Woody Williams was the last surviving World War II Marine veteran who received the Medal of Honor for heroism in the Pacific Theater during World War II. And he died, I think his death date was in June of 2022, I believe, and he was 98. In an interview at 94 years of age, he said, I was a country boy who went into the Marine Corps to preserve freedom and protect my country. I never dreamed I'd be in a war and would actually have to kill people. That's what he said, 94-year-old man. And he would say it with passion as he traveled around, and he was so requested as a speaker. And after he would speak, or before, he would always get to the Pledge of Allegiance, and he would be careful to instruct all these young whippersnappers out there. He would say something like this: when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, we must say it correctly. And he said the correct way to say it is one nation under God. He would point out there is absolutely no comma or pause there. He said we must teach it and say it correctly. And he spoke with passion, and he spoke with influence because of what he had done and where he had served, and he had lived out this call. But I believe with all my heart that Woody had it right. In this constitutional republic, only as we are one nation under God are we truly indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I've often thought back to think why I was raised in such a patriotic atmosphere and why I am the person I am today. And I just think there were so many multiple sources coming at me. I've told you before, I've sung some of the crazy patriotic songs that I learned in grade school. There was a reverence for the flag. There was a daily Pledge of Allegiance. Did anybody start the day at school with a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag beside me? Raise your hand if you did. In the church, we sang and we celebrated in our home, and we were taught that our first responders, including our military, it could be our uncle or people who served, we were taught such respect and admiration for what they did, and I'm so thankful for that. And I remind you that a quote I came across, this is true. All this being said, listen, please. So that goes back to my opening scripture. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people he chose to be his own. We love our country best when we love God the most. My urging today with passion is to love God the most, to sell out to him, to surrender, to make him Lord of your life, Lord of your family. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Still true. Still true. In a simple democracy that's often referred to, which we are not, it's majority rules, half plus one. But in our constitutional republic, it's intended to be God rules over the affairs of men. God rules. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians 4, a couple of verses there from a pastor's paraphrase, I like to call it. Since God has so generously, listen to this, pastor's paraphrase, since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making a new life, not a day goes by, I love this line, without his unfolding grace. Is anybody experiencing his unfolding grace right now as we speak? And he's saying in this passage, it's not about what's going on around us. It's about what God is doing in us and through us. There's reason for optimism. So in these days, I believe our priorities need to be, as biblical citizens, they need to be matters of faith and family and freedom. And you know what that leads to in my mind? That leads to fearless living transformed. Because our hope is in the name of the Lord. Amen? Our hope is in the name of the Lord. I don't think biblical citizens are walking around shaking and quaking in their boots. I don't think we're fear-feared. I think fear-filled. I think we're fearless because of the priorities of our life. I hear about so much about the anxious generations that are coming. Hey, we need to look to him, our help and our strength. A practical passage. And I don't know if I have any kids here that are going to help me or not. But if they are, they can come right up front. Come up here to Grandma. Come right up here. Yeah, come up to Grandma on the front row here. Let me read these words before we do a couple of things. We participate as we close us out today. One of my favorite passages for times like these in all times is found in Philippians chapter 4. And I have used this over and over and over again. Listen to this. It starts out in verse 1. I love this language, and you know it. It's house language. Dear brothers and sisters. Dear brothers and sisters. How many of you know that's us? That's us. That's who we are. But it goes on, and I want to jump on it in verse 6, if my eyes don't betray me. Don't worry about, you guys are quiet today. Is it me? All right. I'll have a halftime pep talk with myself, and we'll come out again next service. Here's the word. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. That's what the early founders did. That's what that picture's about. And thank him for all he has done. So when you're asking, starting in with thanking, huh? Praising him for who he is and thanking him for all the good that he has done and is doing and yet to do. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. If, conditional, if you do this, if you do, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That sounds like fearless living transformed to me. How about you? His peace will guard you from the inside out. It's not circumstantial. It's not based upon what's happening in the world. It's about what's happening in you and through you. And now he says, dear brothers and sisters, there it is again. Let me say one more thing as I close this letter. This is for us today, right here, right now. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. So by that, God's word is timeless, so that means there's still things that are true, honorable, and right. Let's focus and think about those things. True does start with a who, and it's Jesus. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Boy, that's a word for the day, isn't it? Dwell on those things. Fill your mind, fill your heart, fill your kids and grands. Use all your influence to point and praise him. And then he says, keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. In other words, Paul said, basically, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not about me, it's about Jesus, but that's where I'm headed. And he said, by doing this, the God of peace will be with you. Is that good news today? I think I've got some grandkids here. I'm going to have you come on up right here to this microphones, and we're going to do a couple participatory things. Come right up here. Don't be shy. All right. Are these mics on? They can be. Hi, guys.
Hi,
Grandpa. Hi. Don't you love it, Grandpa? What a compliment that is. Come on. Right back here. All right. Just kind of get behind it. And share the mic. Hello, 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 hello. Are you guys nervous at all? No? They are born for the platform and the camera, I can tell you that. All right. So I'm going to have everybody stand, and I want them to lead us in the pledge. And I'll have you kind of turn so you can see the flag where you're doing that, okay? And here's the one change we're going to make. I just told the story before you guys came in that a hero said that when we say the pledge, we shouldn't say one nation under God. We should just say one nation under God. Get it? Like that? Okay? Can you lead everybody real loud and strong? So shout it out. Would you join us as these kids lead us? Here we go. Together, out loud. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And everybody said? All right. Kids, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll do it again. Okay, remain standing if you will. And here's how I felt like we should end. And I have more scripture in this responsive reading than I've had in my entire message today. But I felt like we really needed to read this. So I want you to do this. And I think our singers are coming out. Our mic people, they're going to help us. And then we're going to sing God Bless America. And we're not going to do a rousing rendition after the sixth or seventh inning. We're going to do it. We're going to sing it as a prayer. God, have mercy on us. God, if we need anything, we need your blessing on our lives. We need your guidance and we need your direction, okay? Are all the mic people here? Could we bring those the slides up for the responsive reading? It'll be for you. So I'm going to start, and then there'll be response, and then by the end, we'll all do it together. And all of you, and one of my unfavorite things in the world is when we do a responsive reading in church, and everybody thinks responsive reading means boring, and we have to do it in a monotone, like, no. Would you put a little passion and expression into it, okay? And I'm depending on all of you. This is like Christmas and Easter worship. I want you to lead us in this, okay? So I'll share, and then you guys echo, but all of you join in. Come on, let's raise it up. Let's not be shy. Let's not be shy. Let's make this declaration with passion and expression. So here we go. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. People.
We are grateful, O Lord, for all the blessings you have poured out upon our lives and our lives.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people.
Next slide.
Oh, we need it.
Please forgive us when we have turned from you, and lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake.
Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
Next slide.
Please protect our lives, our families, our homes, our communities, and our country, O God.
From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, you
God
say,
God bless America, our home sweet home.
Oh, you sound good. Let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream.
Let your truth and mercy shape our laws, our leaders, and our lives.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways,
then I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and heal your land.
We pledge allegiance not only to the flag of our country, but to the Lord of all nations.
Our trust is in you alone, O God. Guide us by your light from above.
Could we all say these words together before we sing them? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. So could we sing it as askers right now with our palms up and our hearts and minds? Would you lead us, Nate, as we sing that together? All of us, sing it prayerfully and slowly. God bless America.